Welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today I have my very special guest, Alex Figueroa of Geeks and Flicks, an Action Movie Guys podcast, and we're going to be talking about Mystery of the Wax Museum from 1933. So before we get started, why don't you introduce yourself, Alex, and talk a little bit about your channel?
All right, so my name is Alex Figueroa. I am one of the hosts of Geeks and Flicks Live, or the YouTube channel Geeks and Flicks. My other partner is Nate. And then we have a podcast together called Action Movie Guys, where we basically go through the decades of action movies, and we break them down into two different episodes. One is franchises. So we break down movies that have three or more action movies, in the, you know, sequels and all that. We break those down in that part, and then we have a solo action movies where there's just no sequels. It's just we break them into themes. So we'll have Women Led Month, which is one-offs, and then we have like Black History Month, which is all black led action stars, and we'll have do comedy, martial arts. So we have a lot of topics and themes and all that in the world of action movies. So that's Action Movie Guys podcast and in all platforms. We just got iHeartRadio, so if you listen to iHeart, we have Action Movie Guys on iHeart now. And then in terms of the YouTube channel, it's pretty much the same extension, but this one is more of a film discussion channel. So Mondays Live is pretty much all film discussion. We have Director Spotlight, we have Redo or Redon't, where we talk about the original movie and then the reboot, and then we compare and contrast with the audience. So that's more of an interaction show on Mondays Live. Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's more of the film discussions. But yeah.
Make sure to check him out, you guys. He's got some great stuff. I really love the Mummy series that they did. Those are hilarious. The watchable crap.
Yeah.
But so Alex, what made you decide to pick this movie? You know, I had you pick the movie for our podcast today.
So when it came down to when you asked me, first of all, in terms of the eras of movies, because I know the thing I love about talking to you and having a lot of friends in different genres of movies, pretty much that's what you say, because a lot of people are experts in different movies. The thing that's unique about you is that you tackle old movies, and not many people that I talk to not even care two snaps about old time movies. I'm being really honest with you. Everything is the newer modern movies or superhero movies or everything. You pretty much talk about anything below the 1980s all the way down to like the 30s silent film era. And I think it's pretty cool. So when you ask me, I was pretty happy because I was going to pick like the Vincent Price movies because I love Vincent Price movies. I mean, that's one thing. But then I was like, you know what? Let's start something fresh, and I didn't know if you watched this movie before, to be really honest with you. And when you said you didn't, I was like, this is it. You gotta watch this, because honestly, it's pretty cool when you watch the original movie of reboots that happen, you know, in your modern, you know, time or whatever. But for me, I picked Mystery of the Wax Museum because I love the story. It doesn't matter if who's the one that's playing the villain or the or the characters. I just think the storyline is very cool, and I kind of understand why they took it and made them into two different versions. So I love this story. So that's the reason why I picked it, and the reason is because you never saw it. So I was like, I have to see what you thought about it, get your knowledge on it.
Yeah, and you have it on the Warner Archive release, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see any of the special features or anything like that? I know they're known for that.
I saw the making the before and after, like how they cleaned it. I saw that, and that was a pretty cool feature. I never knew, like, they don't show you like the person behind the computer cleaning it or doing whatever with the negatives, but you do see the before and after, and the guy who I guess is the one in charge of it, he's talking about it, and he shows you like where, like, the dirtiness or the graininess or what shots were missing, and then they had to get it from a French version cut, they took that, and then they had to overlay it and color correct it the same, so when you watch the movie, it's pretty much like if it never came from the French cut. So it was actually pretty cool, and there was like some scenes that were never in that version of the movie. Like, there was, they had like an international version, so they took scenes from there and they added it to that. So it's actually pretty cool. Honestly, I suggest people to pick it up. I'm not crazy with the whole you gotta run out and buy it, but when it comes to movies like this, and I know you will like this, honestly, I think it's $17 right now. It's not even expensive.
Oh, okay.
On Amazon. I highly recommend it for anybody. Like, it's just especially from the special features point, and then the actual film looks amazing.
Oh, that's really cool. Dang, I wish I picked that up now, because the one I watched was a DVD from like 2000 or something like that. It looked terrible.
It looks phenomenal.
Oh, okay.
It looks phenomenal. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, I'm definitely picking it up. All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about some essential movie details that maybe the audience doesn't know about. You mentioned that it was remade two other times, one in 1953 and then one time in 2006. Now, eventually, I want to bring you back on, talk about the 53 one, but without spoiling it or anything, what did you like about that one versus this version of the movie?
Well, so if you ask me which of the two that I enjoy, I would pick the Vincent Price, but I do lean towards the original because it's the original. The Vincent Price, what is unique is that Vincent Price is such a great actor. He takes when he comes to the screen, he owns it. To me, I mean, to everyone else, it you know, when people watch movies, they have their way of watching it. Right. To me, he commanded that movie. And when you watch it, you're going, whoa, well, this guy is pretty good. But then when you watch the original Wax and the Mystery of the Wax Museum, and then you compare it to this one, it's kind of the same movie. So, you know, with certain, they change certain things here and there, but you kind of word for word movie, you know, shot by shot, look kind of the same of the original. So for a lot of people, I guarantee you, they never even heard of the 1933 Wax Mystery of the Wax Museum.
Yeah,
they will know. Yeah, they would know Vincent Price because he's the biggest actor. You know, I call him the godfather of horror, but he's just a legendary horror actor that he's attached to that movie. So that a lot of people will know that movie over the Wax Museum, Mystery of the Wax Museum from 1933. So for me, the difference is just Vincent Price, to be really honest with you. You got to watch it. He is amazing on that movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Maybe sometime in the future we'll do that. Who knows, in a year or so, but that'd be awesome. All right. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, Alex, but most of the wax figures, the reason why they look so realistic is because they're actually real people just standing there.
You know what's funny? There was one scene in the movie, I thought I saw someone move.
Yeah, kind of move a little bit.
Yeah, like wobble, and I was just like, nah, that's a wax. Oh, that's pretty good. But okay, you got me on that one. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, though, to be honest with you. They stood still for a long time.
Yeah, seriously. Now, not all of them, but definitely the Marie Antoinette in the beginning of the movie, that was a real actress just standing there in the dress and all of that.
You know, it's funny. Was she played by the main actress that looked like her? Because when they did the silhouette of them together, she looked like the model. So was she the one?
I want to say it is. Yeah, I didn't look into that. I should have, but I'm pretty sure it is because they look exactly the same.
Yeah, so it could be that she basically did the wax version and then replayed it, you know, did the scene with her character. Okay, that's pretty cool. I mean, I like it. It's weird, right? Because if you look at these type of versions of it, then you go to the 2006 version, totally different. Like, most likely we're going to tackle that 2 years from now. Right. But it's a very different like plot point and the way the waxes look. It's more, you know, what they look now compared to what they did with the original stuff. But yeah, that is pretty cool though. Okay. You got me on that one. That's a pretty cool fun fact.
Yeah. And what I also love about this, do you know who Michael Curtiz is? He's the director of this movie.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Well, what I love about him is he directed Casablanca, White Christmas, this movie, and one called Yankee Doodle Dandy. Anyways, he was like Warner Brothers' big director, and you never hear about him. You know, he directed like 180 movies, and you never hear him brought up when talked about old directors.
Well, I'll tell you this, White Christmas is starting to creep up to be one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say it, my wife loves that movie. Every year I hated it. I was like, oh God, this crap. But the more I fell in love with cinema and film, I started to appreciate it for what it was, like the musical of them dancing. Like, I never seen, I mean, I know I don't want to take the podcast into a different direction, but I never seen old style, like now dancing sequences where they, it's just a, you know, wide angle and then they're just doing this dance number. Mm-hmm. And White Christmas is just, first of all, it's amazing. Like, I started to enjoy it, and I love it now. I hope it gets a 4K because it needs it.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's something about the dancing sequences and the guy's voice. It's Ben all Crosby. Them. Yeah, Ben Crosby and then the other, and then the two females, the sisters singing. Like, I like it a lot. And if he directed this, I didn't see Casablanca. I brought it in 4K. We'll get to see that. But it's crazy because you're right. Those are four iconic movies. Iconic movies. Casablanca is like one of the movies they show in classes, schools. I mean, film schools everywhere. White Christmas is like one of those big movies that are up there. And then, of course, House of Wax, which is pretty big in the horror community.
Yeah, depending on, I would say so.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot another one. Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn, if you've ever seen that one.
Mm-mm.
No, well, that's a really good one, too. He's just really good at kind of jumping between different genres, costume work and all that. He's really, really interesting and wish he was talked about more.
You know what you should do? You should email Nate.
Yeah.
The director for Director Spotlight and give him the 10 movies that you think, but it has to be like in an order from like his beginnings all the way up to like you think is his latest, and send it to him, and then we'll do it on a Director Spotlight.
Heck yeah. Well, I've been reading his biography too. He's a really cool guy. I wish more people knew about him. So yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'd love to do that.
He's a pretty cool guy.
He's been dead for 80 years, but that's okay.
I want to sit down and have brunch with him.
Yeah. Of course, he didn't speak English very well, so I don't know how far we get, but yeah. But anyways, so yeah, he directed a lot of really cool movies, but kind of behind the scenes, you never hear about them.
Yeah.
All right. So now we'll get into our actual thoughts on the movie itself. So we'll start up with you, Alex. What were your thoughts on the plot of the movie and what score did you give it out of 5?
All right. So when it came to the plot, I thought of a lot of stuff. I was like, is the plot engaging? Meaning that did it hook me from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
And this one did. This one actually from the get-go. I think the first 20 minutes of the movie, it just hooks you into the movie. I mean, you see the dude talking to these two investors about waxes, and you're like, what the hell? And you're like, this is pretty cool. Yeah, because I was like, all right, whatever. But then the guy who owned the place came, that I guess works with him or whatever, and he's like, you know what? If we burn it, we get our money back and all this. And he's like, hell no. And then they had that, you know, it's kind of like, they had what I call old-timer fight scenes where when the camera goes backwards and they look like they're struggling and they are punching is so horrible, and then the music gets so crazy. But the cool thing about the House of the Wax Museum in that fight scene in the beginning is the real fire that's happening around them.
Yeah.
And one thing, we have that now in modern movies, right? We have fire scenes, right? We have the CGI versions, and then we do have the practical, but then they mix the two. This one was real fire. And right what there. They did was, they moved the cameras back. And I love the wood falling with fire. It fell on him. And I thought it was really cool. So, like, for me, that really engaged me. And when I first saw this movie, my jaw dropped when the guy burnt all his stuff. And I was just like, whoa. But then later, he reopens the wax museum. And I started to get engaged. Like, I was like, okay, cool. I mean, there were some parts of the movie that I was just like, like the lady, the annoying journalist, she was annoying.
Oh, I actually liked her. That's funny.
But see, that's the cool thing about when you sit down and you talk to someone, you get to know like what they liked and stuff. Like, she was just an annoying journalist. And now you're like, okay, cool. But she helped guide that movie.
Definitely.
So I was like, okay, this is cool. But my dude is the main guy, the main villain of the movie, the one who made the waxes. I liked him because he was like nonchalant. He's just looking at people. He was like, you know what? He's trying to recreate his old waxes with people that are still alive, but he kills them and puts them. So I was like, this is actually really a cool storyline. Like, it's sick, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
It is pretty sick. It's a sick warp thing. They killed the judge. They killed mad people, and he was trying to kill my man's wife. Like, I was like, that is so crazy, because he looked like Antoinette, whatever her name, Marie Antoinette. So right, I was like, that's pretty cool. And St. Joan of Arc is what pretty much what started the whole movie, was St. Joan of Arc, right? Because that lady was killed, and then he took the morgue, and then they put it, and then the journalists discovered it. My thing is, the iconic moment of the movie was pretty much the ending, when you got to see him stand up for the first time and she punches him in the face and all the wax comes off.
Right, the mask comes off.
And I was just
like,
you know what, man? I was like, this is what cinema is about. And that's why I enjoy old movies like this, because the craftsmanship of putting a wax on a guy's face to make it look like his real face, and then when you punch him in the face, it crumbles and everything, and he looks like crap in the other side. And you're like, this is what I'm talking. This is practical at its finest, baby.
Yeah.
I loved it. So I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think it was a great plot point. I don't think it was perfect, because there were some flaws here and there. But a 4 out of 5, I think it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Well, for me, I actually gave it a 3 out of 5. And the only real issues I had with it, at least the version I saw, it felt like there were like 5 or 10 minutes missing. Like, I didn't get, when did he find the investor guy and kill him, you know, and made him into a statue? I don't remember that happening.
There were some scenes in the, there were certain people that when you watch the Warner cut, they don't show him getting. Like, you see him going to the morgue, which I bet you saw in your copy.
Yeah.
He's like the black suit, and he's like, ooh, and he pulls, he throws it out the window. He got that. That was the chick. I believe that was the girl.
Yeah, I think that was the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The judge. You never see him get the judge, because the judge was already, like, a lot of people were already there. They assumed it, but you never get to see it. So, like, the missing cuts that you got, I think once you get the Blu-ray version, it should fill it in, but you don't get, like, it's more information on why he did what he did, pretty much.
Yeah, which is the other critique I had. It kind of felt totally random why he was doing all of that, you know? Yeah. I could understand him getting back at that investor guy and killing him. That made sense. But I didn't get why he decided to all of a sudden, you know what, I'm going to start killing people and make him into statues. Like, that just seems so left field to me.
Well, in the Blu-ray, you do get the, you do understand that he was pretty much recreating what he did before. Mm-hmm. Because when you see the whole thing unfold, that's what they talked about at the end of the movie. Like, that's what he was doing. Because they go, oh my God, that's the judge. And then the guy, what's his name? The one that she followed into the house, and then she opened up the case, and it was like booze there. And remember and they took the cops took him, and then he just broke and he told the story. I don't know if it cut for you, but on my version, he told everything.
Yeah.
Like how he killed the judge, how he did this, and pretty much he was just recreating everything. And then Marie Antoinette is what sent him over. Like, he needed to get that final wax to, so, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I think I remember reading somewhere, it was in the public domain. They didn't really relicense it. So maybe I saw a cut where a lot of things were missing, because, you know, public domain, people do whatever they want to it.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Like I said, Warner cut, when you see the special, they added a lot of scenes from the international cut that wasn't in the original. So I don't know if that helps out flush out the story for you. Uh-huh. But I looked it up. Amazon has it for $17.
Yeah.
So,
well, until I see it, as of right now, it's a 3 out of 5.
Oh, no. I'm cool with it. No, I understand. Yeah. I'm cool with it.
All right. Anything else? I did like the reporter character. I know you didn't, but I liked her. But the only thing I didn't like was, why did she decide last second to be with her boss? Like, that just seems so random too.
That was very random. She yelled at him. He threw her out. I think, did he slap her?
He slapped her.
Yeah, he slapped the crap out of her. I mean, he slapped her. Yeah, yeah. At the end, he was like, all right, let's get married. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he says, let's get married. And then the camera shows the millionaire guy who we thought she was going to marry. And I thought she was going to be like, no, I have someone else. He's down here, you know, kind of sappy. But yeah, that's what I thought. She's like, yeah, let's do it. I was like, wait, what? And then it fades to black.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was one of those. It's very weird. That was very weird. That was very left field, to be honest with you.
All right. So we'll move on to the acting. So what did you think of the acting overall?
So for the 1933, I gave it a 5 out of 5. Now, this is why I gave it a 5. I don't want people to be like, oh, my God, it's a perfect. It's not as perfect. I think for the time period, they did a great job to tell the story. And that main guy, I liked him a lot. He was really good. I don't know what the name of the actor is. I know he's a famous actor because, I mean, if he's your lead, he has to be the famous guy for that time period. But he was really good. Marie Antoinette was very believable. See, for me, I'm basing it to 5 on that final moment. Because that was the most climactic moment in cinema, that scene right there. And how she fainted, she screamed from the top of her lungs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we had the corny cops going through the door, the plastic door when they were hitting it.
Yeah.
yeah, you have that. You got the annoying journalist, but she was really good at her job. So that's why I was like, you know what? She was really believable in that, being annoying. So I was like, you know what? If you're annoying me, then you're doing your job. That's the way I see it. So for me, I felt like in a total package from the lead characters, they did a great job telling me the story in terms of the mute. Now, the mute guy was a little funny because he was like, he didn't talk much, but his presence was felt because you really did not know where did he go. Like, he looked like crap, but he was so strong and stuff. So you're like, wait, what? You know, even the mute, he didn't say much, but I was like, man, he was pretty cool. I'm not gonna say he was great, but he was pretty cool. I mean, the people that he worked with, they were all good. To be honest with you, I had no flaws in the acting. I thought they were all good. So yeah, I gave it a 5.
Nice. Yeah, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I also agree. I thought they were all really good. I really like Florence. She was probably my favorite. Though I do think it seemed like she was in a screwball comedy and everybody else was in like a Dracula, in a serious movie. Yeah. So it was a little off-putting, but it did bring the levity that I think the movie needed, because it's a pretty serious topic. You know, a guy goes out, murders people, puts them in wax figures. It's pretty serious stuff. So I kind of liked how she balanced it out a little bit. And let's see, the mute guy, I agree. I thought he was pretty menacing too. And who else? And Igor, I think that's the main villain's name.
Igor, yeah.
He was really good. I really liked his makeup and all that at the very end. Really cool, really believable. Yeah, I agree. I think the only major critique I'd have of the acting, I did think that the screaming from the what's her name? The fiance character. I thought she was a little too much for me.
Okay.
I want to say it's the same actress who's in King Kong, like the 1930s King Kong. I want to say it is. But yeah, I don't know. I thought the scream was a little much for me. All right. So we'll move on to directing. What are your thoughts on the directing?
Well, the director, okay, so when it comes to the director, all right, so let's get to the main chick. The main chick was who again? What was her name?
I believe Florence, yeah.
Florence was Glenda Farrell.
Okay.
That's her real name.
Okay.
Florence.
I think the other girl was Faye Ray, I want to say.
Yeah, Faye Ray was Charlotte Duncan.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So that is the King Kong girl.
Yeah. She's the one screaming. All right, so it comes to the director. It was very well shot. I will say this. It's a very well shot movie. Again, now, what hurts it for me is the fact that there's a lot of missing footages that they had to scramble to make the entire movie. Now, this is the fault of Warner Brothers or whoever owned the reels. They destroy that. So I can't fault the director on that. But I gave the director, I gave him a 3 out of 5. I thought he was good. I mean, I don't think that. See, again, it's kind of hard because the movie itself is it's an excellent film, but it was kind of hard because what they gave us, whether it's Blu-ray or DVD, is choppy. Right. So it's like I can't, and I'm not a director, so I can't just be like, oh, this, you know, he did wrong in this camera angle. Like, I'm just basing it off of the versions that we saw. And like the fire sequences was cool, but then it cuts mad quick into another shot.
Right. It's very quick jump cuts.
Yeah. Or they're having it jumps cut to the guy leaving and then goes outside in the rain. And I was like, when the hell did it start to rain? And then all of a sudden it just starts to go. Then you see the lady having a conversation on the phone and it cuts and it goes to another thing. And I was just like, oh man, you hurt me here. But in terms of directing, I think he did a great job with that. So I give it a 3. I think he did a good job.
Yeah. Well, I gave him a 5 out of 5, mainly because I think he's a very imaginative director. Yeah. You know, I really love the costumes they did for the wax figures. Really, really cool. I think it's mainly him, because if you see Casablanca, Robin Hood, Yankee Doodle Dandy, all these other ones, they have really elaborate costumes. White Christmas, especially.
Mm.
So I really attribute that all to him. He had a real sense of setting up a scene, making it look really pretty and all of that. And I also like the use of like Dutch angles in some scenes. It kind of felt like film noir almost.
Mm.
So yeah, I really love that. And just the characters he has are always so zany too. He always has some weird character like Florence in his movies that I really, really like too. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's why I liked about him.
Well, the thing is that what works is that you know his work. Like, right. I don't know his work. I just see White Christmas and I saw House of Wax. Like, I didn't see nothing else. So, like, if I'm going to base it off of White Christmas, then, yeah, he's excellent. He has a great eye for cinema, because White Christmas is amazing cinematography-wise.
Oh, yeah.
No, directing it too. But in terms of this movie, it's kind of hard for me because I never seen none of his body of work. So, like, I'm judging it off of House of Wax. So, it's right. Like, okay, like, I don't know his tendencies or what shots go where. But, yeah, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, if you give it a perfect, then I believe you, man. That's yeah. Cool.
But I do agree, though. I think the studio must have interfered, because there's a lot, I think, that's missing from it.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. So, speaking of cinematography, what were your thoughts on that and the special effects for the movie?
4 out of 5.
Nice.
It's not much, so I can't give it a 5, because it's not much special effects in the movie. You got fire in the beginning, and then the ending of the famous shot of his face coming apart. Other than that, the waxes is waxes. You don't see him. If the movie would have been great if they showed you a human turning into the wax,
right,
I would have been like, yo, this joint is off the hook. They didn't give you that. They just already had them standing in positions. Like, if he would have showed you how to, I mean, I know in the end they show you, because he turns on the machines and you see everything, but I wanted to see a dead body. I mean, I don't want to sound all morbid and shit, but right. I'm just saying I did wanted to see the dead body and then him making it. So right. I could go, holy crap, or him explaining it to somebody, like, this is what I did or something. So for me, it hurt it in that department. But with that said, again, the iconic scene is what gave it the 4 out of 5, because I never seen that in a movie in a long time. Besides the fly, when I think she does the same thing to him, and all of a sudden the big head comes out and he's like, bzzz.
Yeah, it's the fly head. Yeah,
it's a big fly head. Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but I have seen that scene.
Oh, you never seen it? Oh, I think you would like it. I think you would like it. It's one of my other favorite franchises. I like that one. But yeah, so I give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's great.
Nice. Well, I gave it a 5 out of 5. The reason being, it's actually the 2-color process that they use for the film. If you notice, it's like red and green, because that's all the color they had back then. I think it really fits. They weren't intending it, of course, but it really fits with this, because it kind of gives everyone a waxy look. So like, it makes all the statues kind of look like statues, because limited colors, dark setting and all that. I really like that, especially for a horror movie. This is perfect for a horror movie. What's another aspect? And I really love the very beginning, where it's like a dark London street and, you know, kind of candlelit inside. That was really, really cool looking. Let's see, special effects wise. Yeah, like you said, there's not a whole lot special effects wise, but what is there is really impressive. Like you mentioned, the mask, breaking and all that. That was really cool. It kind of reminded me of the Phantom of the Opera from the 20s, where like the lady pulls off his mask and he's like on the organ. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. the funny face. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that moment. I bet they're paying homage to that movie there. And I love the statues. I thought they looked really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could kind of see when some of them were moving, but for the most part, it looked really cool. The angles he did with them, the really cool shots. Yeah, I loved it. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, even when you see like dead bodies now, you see their stomach a little bit go up, like them holding their breath so they don't move. Yeah. So it doesn't bother me as much. I applaud when you see that stuff. It's not like I like that stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And to your point about them not showing anyone being put in the wax or whatever, I'm wondering if it was the Hays Code or something like that that prevented that.
Oh, you know what? Maybe.
You know,
I'm just thinking out the box, because I would have been like, I wanted to see that. Right. I'm not going to lie. Because, you know, there's certain things about like movies when you watch it, you're like, man, why didn't they go down this route?
Right.
And it's pretty cool to see. I mean, you don't see, I'm not going to, it's not spoiling, but you don't see it in none of the movies. Whether it's the 33 version, the 53 version, or the 2006.
Even in 2006. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think you see it. You do see them ripping off the skin, and then you see it's under. But it's been ages since I've seen it. I don't remember if you see them pouring the hot wax on them and they sculpting it.
Okay.
Maybe they did, but I don't remember.
Well, yeah. I was kind of expecting in the scene where all of them were melting, because I knew it was real people, I thought we're going to see like skulls or something in there.
That would have been hot.
I was like,
whoa. That would have been hot.
it kind of reminded me of Raiders of the Lost Ark, like when you see their faces all melting.
Oh yeah, I like that was that's the time lapse. But yeah, I love that one. Yeah, don't look in the light, Miriam.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. All right, so we'll move on to the music. What did you think of the music in this movie?
Oh, I love the music. That is a 5 out of 5. I love. I'll say this right now. Anything with me, I love old classic music. So noir music, jazz music. This type of score, old horror music, horror movie music. I loved it because I love the eerie of the violins and the cellos and the orchestra kicking in. Now we're into the digital age where we do have the orchestra, but it's more digital now. Like it's like you have piano, but it's not piano, it's electrical piano. So you can add effects like synth and organs and whatever. Right. Whereas I will love to just go back to that old stuff. But when the movies have it with, the orchestra, it's so good. And this one is so great. You know, when she punched him in the face and it crumbled, it was like, bum, 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 bum.
Yes.
I thought it was like awesome. But yeah, I gave it a 5. It's nice. Great.
Well, this may be due to this cut of the movie. Oh, I gave it a 2 out of 5.
A 2?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, they remastered it. So the sound.
That's what I'm wondering, because a lot of the scenes were like, it should be a moment where you hear like eerie music. There's nothing. It's totally silent. It's like, this is really awkward.
Yeah. So then, you know what? Some
background music.
It's the DVD. I'll send you the link to the Blu-ray of Amazon. Okay, cool. So you could just order it. It's only $17. So I bet you get it super fast. Okay. But yeah, no, rewatch it.
Okay.
With the newer one, and trust me, you're gonna DM me going, dude, this is way better.
So much better.
Yeah, than what I saw. But the music, again, is ambient at times, but then it slowly hears the violin starts to kick in, and you're like, oh my god, it's gonna get crazy. And then all of a sudden, it gets all chaotic. I loved it. I thought it was great. Even that morgue scene, when you see the shadows and he's walking, it's like.
Yeah, that was totally silent. There's no music for me.
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I get for watching a public domain. that happens with silent movies all the time for me too, because like The Sheik, I don't know if you've seen that one or not, but they put like weird 70s synth music to it. I was like, what is this?
Yes, we did a 007 segment on the Action Movie Guys. And Nate never saw none of the Roger Moores or nothing. right? And there was one that Roger Moore is with a girl and they're driving through a canyon, through like a mountain. And all of a sudden it just broke into like some like straight funk music. And he's like, what is it? Like, he hated it. He hated it. He hated it. Like, not the movie, but he hated the soundtrack because it broke into something crazy. And he was just like, what are we listening to? Because it just came out of nowhere. It was like, wow.
Was that The Spy Who Loved Me or which one was it?
I think it was. I think it was that one.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like out of the blue. It was just like Bond music. And then it was like, bam, bam.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he did not. He was not happy with that. I was like, oh my God.
All right. So what's your overall score for the Mystery Wax Museum?
Okay. So this is like the letterbox score.
Yeah. Tallying that up.
Yeah. It's a 4.2. So I guess a 4.5, I guess. I don't know if it's 4.2. I don't know if there's a 2 in letterbox. So I think it's 4.5 out of 5. It just has
halves or holes. It doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. So then it'll be an even 4 out of a 5. Nice. So I'll give it a 4 out of 5. It's a great film. I recommend it to everyone that I talk to. I'm like, you got to watch the original. And everyone's like, I like the other, the 2006. I'm like, oh God. I was like, whatever. But it's a great movie, great acting, great soundtrack, great directing and cinematography. I think it's like overall well packaged of a horror movie for that time period. Like, I would love to go back in time if I had a DeLorean and go to see like Psycho in the theater.
Yeah.
Because I know Alfred Hitchcock was in the back listening to people, so I could get like his autograph before. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go to the bathroom.
I still need to see that one.
You haven't seen Psycho?
No, not yet.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Do you own it?
No, but I have seen Rear Window. I've seen 8 of his movies. I can't remember all of them right now, but okay. No, that's one of the ones I still need to see.
I think you would love that one. Okay. I think you would, to be honest with you. I think you would like that one a lot.
I really liked Rear Window, so I look forward to checking out Psycho.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But in terms of everything, 4 out of 5.
Nice. Well, I gave it a 3.8, so I'm rounding that to a 4 out of 5 as well. Got the same score. Honestly, the music for me was kind of a bummer. But like you said, it's probably just because of the cut.
Yeah.
And despite all that, I would highly recommend this movie. You know, I've kind of started getting into the Universal monster movies, and this is Warner Brothers, but this reminds me a lot of Dracula, Frankenstein, all of those. So if you're into those, you'll really, really like this one. I think it belongs up there with them, honestly. It's really good. It needs to be talked about more.
I agree. It needs to be up there with a lot of movies. I don't know why it's like not talked about. It should be. It should be.
Yeah, it has 2 remakes, for crying out loud.
You know why there's 2 remakes? And me and they always have a theory on this. When there's a movie that gets remade, it's because it has an excellent story. Think about it. Think about the storyline. A guy gets supposedly killed in an insurance fraud, comes back, and starts putting revenge and making the waxes that they destroyed. Like, how cool is that story? You know? Now, 2006 is not that same storyline. It's not. But the 2053, it is. I mean, 2053. The 1953 version with Vincent Price is the same storyline. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I gravitate to those 2 more than the 06. Because I enjoy I enjoy remakes and originals that are similar to the same. But how can you tell the story just a little bit better?
Right.
Like, so that's how, that's, so, yeah.
All right. Well said. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Alex. And thanks for recommending this movie. I actually really enjoyed it. It was great.
Yeah, I have other ones, man. I have other ones. Yeah.
No, so we'll definitely have you back on in the future. Mm-hmm. And before we go ahead and plug your channel and anything you got going on.
Yeah, so if you want to follow me on YouTube, we have the live shows on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, or I drop I'm starting to drop again unboxing videos, and I'm going to do some more topic videos with friends live to have fun. So if you want to join that, subscribe. It's Geeks and Flicks on YouTube. So it's youtube.com/geeksandflicks. Or if you're into action movies, it doesn't matter what type of action movies, female-led, martial arts, comedy, anything out of the sun. Indiana Jones, we covered them all. We did Indiana Jones, we did Mummies, we did all the Terminators, we did all the Stallone Rambos. I mean, you name them, we have them all there. We're up to 213 episodes. Right now, we are currently doing the Resident Evil franchise, and we're starting to do the gaming, video game action movies. That's the theme of this month. And yeah, so that for this Tuesday, it's going to be Resident Evil, the third one, the third Resident Evil movie. And then it's the Need for Speed movie, which I never saw. So again, if you're into the action movies, just check out Action Movie Guys on any platform, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast. Again, thank you so much for having me on your show. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And links to his channels and all that, they'll be in the description below. And thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. I try to do new podcast episodes Saturdays, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Not on iHeartRadio yet, though, but at some point, right? But yeah, this has been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. This is my special guest, Alex. Thank you so much again. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.